This is Wade Reff here with the Chief Organizer Report. Acorn makes the federal budget extension bill yet again. In a story headlined, "I can't do this anymore, Congress, I can't." Republicans are blocking funds for the long-shuttered Acorn again. Zach Carter, the senior economy reporter for the Huffington Post, tries to retire from the Acorn is Dead piece after years on the beat. Since I've counted on Zach to scour the budget to find out if Acorn is still high on the hater list with the Republicans, I'll miss him, but I do have to honor his toil by sharing his report from HuffPost today, so here is what Zach Carter has to say. One morning in early March of 2013, I received a reporting tip for what I thought would be the single dumbest story I would ever write. When I answered the phone, the Capitol Hill staffer on the other end could barely contain his laughter. House Republicans had slipped detailed language into a must-pass government funding bill that would prevent federal cash from flowing to an anti-poverty group called Acorn. My source wasn't a cold-hearted bureaucrat. The GOP had grown accustomed to demanding concessions from Democrats on critical legislation since winning control of the House in 2010. Some of these maneuvers, including a failed attempt to repeal Obamacare, carried serious policy implications. But this particular case of legislative hostage-taking came with a punchline. Acorn didn't exist. The organization had disbanded in the United States nearly 3 years prior. Congress was about to do something thoroughly futile for no reason. There was a certain aesthetic harmony between the emptiness of this looming legislative assault and the attack that caused Acorn's demise. In 2009, conservative provocateur James O'Keefe had stitched together undercover footage that appeared to show Acorn staffers offering financial advice to a pimp who declared he was prostituting underage girls. Multiple government investigations would eventually clear Acorn of legal wrongdoing, and O'Keefe's career would descend to a series of bizarre cell phones. But the damage to Acorn was done. Congress voted to cut off federal funding, and the group closed its doors, humiliated. Years later, Acorn's enemies were apparently still not satisfied. I called the GOP spokesman for the House Appropriations Committee, who told me the anti-Acorn language was a typical provision that is included in most appropriation bills. This explanation, of course, only made everything weirder. Why would Congress routinely bar federal funding for an organization that doesn't exist? The ultimate answer turned out to be that Congress was barely functional and remains all but broken today. 4 years later, here I am sitting at my desk writing another story about a budget bill attacking funds for Acorn. It's right there on page 1060 of the latest government funding legislation. None of the funds made available under this or any other act or any prior appropriations act may be provided to the Association of Community Organizations Reform Now, Acorn, or any of its affiliates, subsidiaries, allied organizations, or successors. Since Acorn does not exist, it has no affiliates or subsidiaries. Allied organizations and successors are not legally defined terms. I know because I've written different versions of this story over and over and over again. Every time Congress unveils a new bill to fund the federal government, I do a quick search through the text for Acorn, and Congress rarely lets me down. Sometimes liberal publications or nerdy blogs post the stories, but they always click well because this tale is always so breathtakingly stupid. In August 2014, in a fit of foolishness, I declared the crusade against Acorn over because the language attacking funds for the non-existent organization had disappeared from the budget bill. It reappeared in December of that year, prompting HuffPost publication of what I still believe to be the masterwork of this mini-genre, which we headlined, "Tears of Sisyphus, Republicans Resurrect Acorn Only to Murder It Again." Once upon a time, lawmakers determined the federal budget by debating policy priorities and holding hearings about what the appropriate funding levels of different programs ought to be. This would be a series of negotiations over final appropriations, and ultimately a relatively reliable stream of funds would emerge for social services, scientific research, and other federal programs. Congressional leaders abandoned that process some years ago after a calamitous effort to extract ideological concessions tied to a bill to raise the debt ceiling nearly resulted in the U.S. government defaulting on the federal debt. In place of the old system, party leaders now copy and paste language from prior bills, seeking to avoid controversy and hash out any disputes in private meetings. That's how the Acorn phasing made it into law again and again. Somebody just pulls up whatever the old language was on Department of Health and Human Service funding, correctly assessing that whatever passed last time around won't cause too much trouble today. I used to get a kick out of the Acorn story. Most of my writing for HuffPost involves financial regulation, international bribery, or some other technical issue involving money and numbers with high stakes. Acorn was a nice break, something fun, stupid, and essentially harmless. But I can't do it anymore. I've been writing about this foolishness for more than 4 years, and I'm not getting the same sense of joy or relief I used to get from seeing those five magic letters. The truth is that I'm starting to resent this beat. I don't want to be remembered as something frustrating or annoying. I want to remember Acorn the way it deserves to be remembered. It's not you, Acorn. It's me. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.